content of this program is intended for people who are print and visually impaired. Hello, my name is Joe Austin, and I'm your host for today's episode of Legal Matters, an original program produced in the North Carolina Reading Service Studio. The next half hour, we'll be exploring topics so that you can champion your own legal rights to obtain equal access and full participation in the community and to achieve your goals of independent living. Every fourth Tuesday of each month, you can find us here providing news and information from federal and state agencies as well as nonprofit organizations that promote information on laws supporting independent living. In today's episode, we're exploring landlord and tenant law, and we're pleased to have as our guest Isaac Sturgill. Hello, Isaac.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you. Isaac is the Housing Practice Group Manager for North Carolina Legal Aid. He's headquartered in the Charlotte office. And welcome, Isaac, and we're so glad to have you with us to give us some insights and information about this very timely topic. Before we get into the substantive part of the program and the doctrine, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Let our listeners know what your credentials are.
Sure. Thanks, Joe. So my name is Isaac Sturgill, and I'm the Housing Practice Group Manager for Legal Aid of North Carolina. And what that means is essentially that I direct the housing work for Legal Aid of North Carolina across the state. So Legal Aid has about 20 offices across the state. We serve all 100 counties. And as far as our housing work goes, we represent tenants. So if you're a tenant who is going through an eviction proceeding, or your landlord is, you know, giving you notice, or maybe you've even had court papers served on you through the eviction process, we do represent low-income tenants free of charge. And so we're in the business of trying to keep people in their homes. And I've been doing this now for about 8 years.
And you are the practice group manager for the whole state, right?
That's right. So we've got about 200 attorneys across the state, and we, you know, Legal Aid does more than just housing work. We do consumer protection work. We do domestic violence protection work. But as far as the housing work goes, I'm in charge of that program, that effort.
And if we I'm envisioning our footprint here in North Carolina, I think we've got listeners as far east as Wilmington, and you've got a rather large office down in Wilmington, don't you?
We do, and we have about 20 offices. Our goal is to provide free legal representation for people who are unable to afford it, to try to protect critical needs like housing, you know, being one of those. And so our goal is to represent every county, you know, citizens from every county in the state. And we were able to achieve that with the 20 field offices we have across the state.
That's great. And of course, there's a large office, an active office here in Raleigh as well. Well, let's get into the landlord-tenant law is something that is always a timely topic. But we know since last March that there have been some additional issues that have come up, and people are particularly worried about getting evicted. What is the state of play, Isaac, in terms of the COVID-19 procedures in North Carolina at this point?
So it is so confusing, and it's so hard for people to keep track of. And I'll tell you the reason why is because there has been kind of a patchwork of different laws and moratoriums and changes in the legal system since March, since about mid-March. And I'm going to do my best to kind of summarize it and kind of tell you where we're at now. So there have been several different orders and moratoriums that have gone into effect to try to keep people in their homes during the pandemic. And the reason why is that there is a direct connection between evictions and the spread of the virus. And there have been, you know, it's not even a matter of opinion. It's fact that for people who are homeless, who are evicted, who are forced into homeless shelters, or who are forced into cramped living conditions with friends and families, that their risk of exposure to the coronavirus goes up. And that you know, there's no debate about that. That's a fact. And so we've seen the you know, different levels of the government since mid-March try to do something to try to prevent people from being evicted to try to control the spread of the coronavirus. And so it started back in March with our Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court, at that time, Cherry Beasley, who essentially shut down court operations for about a month. We saw the CARES Act, which was a federal law that Congress passed back in March that put a moratorium on evictions from for not everybody, but for certain homes. So any homes that had a federal rental subsidy or that had a federally backed mortgage, there was an eviction moratorium for about 120 days that said that, you know, those tenants and those properties cannot be evicted for non-payment of rent during that time. In June, Governor Roy Cooper did his own eviction moratorium for 3 weeks that went from about May 30th to June 20th. And more recently, on September 4th, the Centers for Disease Control passed their own moratorium that took effect on September 4th and has been extended through the end of this month on January 31st. And then even more recently after that, the Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court closed the courts again in large part. She sent out guidance to the courts across the state that said that we should not be having any, you know, quote unquote, non-essential court proceedings right now, including eviction proceedings. And so what we've seen across the state for most counties in the state, although there are a couple of exceptions, eviction courts are currently closed, but they're you know, currently scheduled to resume operations after January the 14th. So it's hard to keep track of. It's confusing for landlords and tenants because there hasn't just been one change in the law. There's been this, like I said, kind of a patchwork of different, you know, changes and laws that have been passed. My best way to summarize it now is that in most places in the state, eviction courts are closed right now, but they're going to open back up after January the 14th. And all of the moratoriums have pretty much expired except for two. There's the CDC order that I talked about that went into effect September 4th. That moratorium is still active through the end of this month, January 31st. There's also a second order by Governor Cooper called Executive Order 171 that has also been extended through the end of this month that creates some additional obligations for landlords. If you're a landlord and you want to evict a tenant, there's more hoops you have to jump through now to do that. So those are really the only two really significant protections that still exist for tenants right now that are pandemic related would be the CDC order and the executive order from the governor.
So safety zone in effect right now, but change is imminent. Is that
yes? And that's exactly right. And, you know, there's a big concern that, you know, the only protections left again are the CDC moratorium and the Executive Order 171 from the governor. But again, they were extended through the end of January. But after that, it's basically open season for evictions. And so, you know, amongst the tenant advocacy community, there is a really big concern that after the end of January, when the gloves come off, that we are going to see a huge spike in eviction cases. I think there's some estimates that say that, you know, there's over like, you know, 200,000 families in North Carolina that are at risk of eviction at this point. So once those protections expire at the end of the month, and unless they're replaced by something else, I would anticipate that we're going to have a tsunami in evictions, you know, a big spike in eviction cases.
Right. So if I stop paying rent back in September, it's and no action's been taken up to this point. It's not as if I have they've forgotten about me, right? Somebody's keeping track of what I owe, and I'm still at least at risk for getting evicted.
No, that's exactly right, Joe. And so we just talked about this kind of patchwork of different moratoriums. There's been several laws and several changes that have taken place, but none of the moratoriums that have gone into effect relieve tenants of their obligation to pay rent. So it's not like rent forgiveness. That's not a thing that any of these laws require. And so essentially all it's doing is stopping landlords from being able to evict right now for non-payment of rent, but it does not make that debt go away. And so the other really critical piece of all of this that people are looking at is rental assistance. You know, is there some bailout for tenants and for landlords, for tenants that have not been able to pay their rent because of the pandemic? They need money and they need, you know, they need help catching up the rent because otherwise it just kind of feels like, you know, kicking the can down the street, because eventually that bill is going to become due. And after these protections expire, you know, people could be evicted if they still have that that debt.
In your experience, have the, even though the courts have been closed, and of course the courts closed, you can't get your relief or remedy if you're the landlord. But in your experience, have the landlords have they actually been serving the papers in the meantime, or they or is it your impression that it's sort of a groundswell of demand for litigation on their part, and they're just biding time?
We've seen a few things with that. So first of all, one thing that's really important for your audience to know about this CDC moratorium, which is the most significant protection that's in place for tenants right now, is that it is not automatic. And what I mean by that is the CDC order, this moratorium, does not automatically protect any tenant in the state from eviction. And the reason why is because tenants have to actually do something to claim protection under the law. And what they have to do is they actually have to sign a sworn affidavit. It's called a declaration that says that they qualify for protection under the order. There's several different qualifications. You know, you have to make less than $99,000 a year. You have to swear that if you're evicted, that you'll be homeless. You have to swear that you're using your best efforts to apply for whatever rental assistance is available, and that you're paying as much as you can when you can, even if you can't pay the full amount of rent. So if you meet all those qualifications, you have to sign this declaration, and then you have to deliver it to your landlord. And not until a tenant does that is the tenant protected under the law, which means that for many tenants that maybe they don't understand how this eviction moratorium works, or they're not educated about it, or they don't know how to take advantage of the law, they are still having cases filed against them. And unfortunately, many of them, even though they would qualify for protection under the law, are being evicted because they, you know, they are not taking advantage of it. So cases are still being filed right now. And actually, you know, other than, you know, besides the fact that the courts closed for another 30 days, you know, from like halfway through last month through January the 14th, cases are still being heard. You know, as recently as like last month, there were still cases being heard and judgments being entered against tenants.
Well, I'm prejudiced in favor of having a lawyer if you've got a legal issue, and but not everybody knows whom to call. Legal aid, though, is a resource for people who meet the criteria. What is the criteria for getting actual legal assistance from legal aid in landlord and tenant issues?
Right. So it's absolutely free to call legal aid, to talk to one of our staff to see whether or not you qualify for our services. And again, the mission of our organization is to provide critical legal representation to people who really need it and who otherwise would not be able to afford it. So if you call our helpline number, what's going to happen is you're going to talk to one of our staff. They're going to ask you some basic questions about how many people live in your home and how much money that you make. And if you are, you know, within our income limits, our representation is completely free of charge. But again, there's no cost to call and to get screened to see whether or not you qualify. Our number for that is 866-219-5262. That's 866-219-5262. That's our helpline. That's a toll-free hotline that people can call. And also, we're online at legalaidnc.org.
And suppose someone calls you and they don't qualify for actual legal assistance. Do you have referral lists?
We do. So there's other resources. If somebody does not qualify for legal aid assistance, we may be able to point them in the right direction as far as other resources that are available. Absolutely.
And of course, landlord tenant is like most everything is a regulated area. And so the landlord can't just walk up, knock on the door and evict you just like that. There's got to be some process involved, isn't that? That's correct, isn't it?
That's a really important thing to remember, Joe. And, you know, you're absolutely right that the only legal way that a landlord can evict a tenant in North Carolina is through the court system. So the only legal way for a landlord to evict a tenant is to file a lawsuit against the tenant to have a trial and then have the judge decide that the eviction is allowed and have an order against against the tenant. What we've seen, unfortunately, over the last several months, and it breaks my heart to say this because it's illegal that this is happening, we have seen a rise in illegal evictions. And I think part of what's happened, and I'm not trying to paint all landlords with a broad brush, and you know, there's great landlords out there, there's bad apples too, though.
Right.
But what we've seen happen over the last several months is because landlords have been limited, their access to the court has been limited because of these various eviction moratoriums and what have you, the number of illegal or what we call self-help evictions has gone up. And what I mean by self-help eviction would be anything other than going through the court process to evict somebody. And all of these things are illegal. You know, shutting off the power to the unit, shutting the water off, for example, changing the locks without a court order, any means to evict a tenant other than going through the court system is illegal. And unfortunately, we've seen a spike in that. We used to average statewide, we would average maybe two or three illegal eviction cases a month. I was looking back through some data back in March and going into April, and it went from two or three cases a month to like 20 to 30 a month. So we unfortunately have seen like a 10 times increase in the number of illegal evictions statewide. For your audience, though, if you're the victim of an illegal eviction, I mean, definitely call legal aid. That's something that we can help with, because if you are evicted illegally outside of the court system, there's a good chance that if you get a legal aid attorney, we may be able to get an emergency hearing in front of a judge and get you back into the home.
Good. That's a good resource. Well, suppose my landlord is a law-abiding good citizen, we've rocked along and they've taken no action against me. The time has come for him to make a move. I'm going to get served with some suit papers. Is that correct? If I'm the tenant.
Yeah, there's going to be. So if you're a tenant and you have court papers served on you, you're going to get two documents. And one of those documents is called a summons. And that's the piece of paper that's going to tell you when your court date is, what courtroom it's in, and you know what the address of the courthouse is. So that's the paper that tells you, you know, where you've got to be and when you've got to be. And then the second piece of paper you would get is something called a complaint and summary ejectment. And summary ejectment is just the term in North Carolina for eviction cases. And that piece of paper is going to tell you the basis for your landlord's lawsuit. It's going to tell you why your landlord thinks that they have the legal right to evict you. Most commonly, it's non-payment of rent, especially now in the pandemic with so many people out of work. But it could be for other things too. I mean, a landlord could evict a tenant because they have broken some other rule under the lease, or for other reasons as well. But those two court papers are what you would get if you have an eviction case filed against you. The one interesting thing about eviction cases too is that the landlord does not have to personally serve you, which means that the landlord does not have to get a process server or a sheriff's deputy to actually put those court papers directly into your hand. The landlords can do something called service by posting, which means that it's valid to serve those court papers on a tenant just by posting, taping a copy to the door and putting a copy in the mail. And so one thing that I tell tenants is that if you're worried that your landlord may be filing an eviction case against you, you need to be aware of that they can serve you just by taping a copy on your door and putting a copy in the mail. So if you're a tenant and you're worried that you may be at risk of having a case filed against you, make sure you're on the lookout for that. Make sure you're checking your mail every day and that you pay attention to that, because we do see situations where someone is served that way and they don't, you know, the piece of paper falls off the door, or they don't check their mail for a while and they're not even aware that they've been served.
And so the papers are going to give the tenant a date certain to go to court. How long is usually the timeline for that? You get served, and how much time have you got before you've got to appear?
That's a great question, and don't get upset when I tell you this, but eviction cases, there's a special law in North Carolina that says that eviction cases are supposed to be heard very quickly.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the reason why they call it summary ejectment, is because it happens fast. And so this has slowed down in some counties because of COVID restrictions. So some courts have delayed the process or have lengthened the timeline for when these cases are heard. But under state law and under normal times, the eviction trial happens within, you know, very quickly, within just a few days of when the case is filed. And so it could be, you know, what's typical during normal times is that if someone is served with eviction court papers, they may get it on a Wednesday and then their trial will be that Friday or the Monday of the next okay. week. So it's usually less than a week that people have to react and to, you know, to respond. And so in legal aid, we're used to that, though. We're used to having people call us and they say, I just got served with eviction court papers. I have court 2 days from now. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah. And so the summons is going to be down at the courthouse or the annex to the courthouse, and it's going to be before a magistrate. Is that right?
That's right. So eviction cases in North Carolina, they start typically in small claims court, where they're presided over by a magistrate who acts as the judge. There is an appeals process. So if you have an eviction case filed against you and you lose that first trial in small claims court, you do have the right to file an appeal and to have a new trial in a higher court, in district court.
Okay. So you've got two bites at it. And I guess we've been talking about private housing, or at least that's sort of the regime that I was thinking of. Is there any difference for public housing?
There's a lot of differences, and essentially what you need to know about public housing and other federally subsidized housing programs, and there's several of them. Public housing is one of them, but you've also got, you know, the Section 8 voucher program. You've got different project-based subsidies, like project-based Section 8, and there's a whole variety of different subsidy programs. But what you need to know about them is that whenever there's federal money involved, there are additional strings that are attached, right? And so a lot of the tenants that live in subsidized housing, they have additional obligations that they have to meet to stay in the program. Like, for example, they have to recertify their income every once in a while, you know, once every year or every 2 years. But the landlords also have additional rules that they have to follow. And so typically people who are in subsidized housing, like public housing, those tenants will have additional rights under federal law. Like, for example, if a landlord wants to evict them, they have to give a particular type of eviction notice, and they have to inform them of what their rights are. And that there's, you know, many programs, there's a grievance hearing process even before it gets to court. So if you're lucky enough to have a federal rental subsidy, you're going to have some additional obligations that you have to meet, but you also have stronger protections and stronger rights than tenants in private housing.
Then, of course, if the rent's not been paid, in order to get yourself square with the house, you've got to pay the rent. Can you pay the rent in advance so that you don't have to go to court?
Most landlords, so if you have an eviction case filed against you and it's over money and you're behind on the rent, most landlords will, you know, if you're able to come up with the money before court, most landlords will accept the money, and they could just dismiss the case at that point if there's no reason for them to go forward. However, not every tenant has the right to do that. You know, although most landlords will accept the money, depending on the lease agreement, some landlords, even if you come up with the money, if they decide that they don't want to accept it, they're not obligated to accept it. And they could still move forward with they could refuse the money and move forward with the eviction if they wanted to. It depends on what the lease agreement says. For verbal leases, for oral leases, or for some written leases that don't waive that type of right, you know, tenants do have the right to pay and get caught up and dismiss the case. But depending on the lease, if a landlord has a certain type of lease, he could decide, well, even though you came up with the money, I'm tired of dealing with you and I don't want to accept it, and I want to still go forward with the process.
Mm-hmm. So can they add any kind of a late fee or any kind of fees on top of the rent?
There are certain fees that are authorized under state law, but there are limitations to those. So one of the biggest ones is what you just mentioned, which is late fees. But there are very strict rules about late fees in North Carolina. And here's what the rule says for late fees. You cannot charge more than either $15 or you can charge 5% of the rent, whichever one is more.
Mm-hmm.
but you cannot exceed that amount. So, you know, you can't charge, for example, 10% of the rent or anything above 5% of the rent or $15. That's your limit on that. And the other rule for late fees in North Carolina is that you can't charge a late fee until the rent is more than 5 days late. So if you have a lease that says that, you know, you can charge a late fee on the second day of the month or the third day or anything like that, that's also illegal. So it has to be more than 5 days late. It can't be more than $15 or 5% of the rent, whichever one is more.
And they can also, well, they would add the court costs as well, would they not?
They can, and it can. That's something that if a landlord has to file an eviction case against a tenant, that they may very well ask as part of that case to be reimbursed for their court cost. And court costs are normally $126. That's the fee that it costs to file a case and then have the sheriff's department serve it on the tenant.
Okay, so well, we're getting into real money there. That's anyway, it's not just the rent that's a hazard. It's there are some fees or late fees potentially, but the court costs, which can be substantial.
Well, yeah, let me say this about fees though, because that's actually one area, especially I'll tell you around the Charlotte region, at Legal Aid, where we get into a lot of litigation over fees, and the reason is that you would be surprised at how many times landlords will charge tenants fees that are illegal, you know, like excessive late fees, or maybe they're charging the tenant for some type of service that the tenant never agreed to, right? And so we actually litigate those cases a lot, and there are actually some consumer protection laws in North Carolina that say, you know, it talks about unfair debt collection practices, and it talks about the fact that if a landlord charges a fee that's illegal, that the tenant has a remedy to that. And the remedy for the tenant is not only to get the fee refunded, but the law actually provides for penalties against the landlord. And it can be between $500 to $4,000 in civil penalties against the landlord for doing that. So I wanted to put that out there. You have to be careful if you're a tenant. You know, we see it more often than we think we should, but there's been several, you know, multiple times a year that we will file counterclaims for tenants because of illegal fees that they're being charged.
Well, my advice is get a lawyer, call up Legal Aid if you get served with papers, and we've run out of time for today's episode of Legal Matters. Thank you, Isaac. That was very informative, very informative. We're glad to have you on and provide that good information and your insights today.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. I'm happy to come back anytime. Again, the number for Legal Aid is 866-219-5262. So people are free to call that. As far as rental assistance, if people are in need of that too, your best option is to call 211 or go on search up NC211 online. And that's the best place to go looking for rental assistance.
Fantastic. Thank you, Isaac.
Thank you, Joe.
The content of this program is intended for people who are print and visually impaired. After it's broadcast, you can find it on podcast at our website. And if you have any comments or questions from today's episode or wish to share a topic that you want us to explore, please call us at 919-832-5138. And our website, of course, is www.ncreadingservice.org. Thank you very much, Isaac, and thank you, Chris Skidmore, our engineer. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.